So glad in the world that is nuts as it is, crazy world. Lord God, we look around this globe and we see the suffering, we see the rebellion and the hurt and the pain. We see things that we know is not right. And then we open the Bible and then your word says, it isn't right. It's not right. It's not the world that you wanted. This is a world with man holding the wheel. And this is what happens. So Father, we pray this morning that until your kingdom come, or until we go see you face to face, Lord, that we would be reminded of the fact that you declared in your Bible that you love us. If we look around the world, we would think erroneously, wrongly, that you don't like us. But your Bible says you love us and that you hate what's going on in this world. We pray this morning that you would cause us to see and behold you more clearly than ever before. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, listen, grab your Bibles this morning, and if you would, hold your place in the book of Ezekiel this morning, chapter 38. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 38 this morning. We are interrupting our study in the Gospel of Luke, and it is important that we do that. The title of the message this morning is, Why Should We Care About Bible Prophecy? And you might say this morning, I don't want to hear this. You got to hear this. And you're going to want to hear the reason why you need to hear this. Bible prophecy. The Bible, 27% of the Bible is dedicated to actual or literal prophecy in the truest sense of the word. However, the Bible itself speaks and announces that even our salvation, the cross, Jesus being risen from the dead, is the fulfillment of the prophetic word of God. But church, this morning is a kind of a historic morning for us because things are so happening on the world scene in relation to the Bible that we are starting this morning a brand new series that will go on until we either die of old age. It will be sprinkled with events and titles that will be applicable to the events and days of our lives. Yes, we'll be back in Luke's Gospel very shortly, probably next week. But along the journey now, we will have this one series between now and the time I die or whatever. When we give these spiritual or prophetic updates, we're going to be calling them part of the Get Ready series. And this morning, why should we care about Bible prophecy? The Get Ready series. And whenever something of global significance occurs in the world, whenever there's an event in the Middle East, the world always turns to the Bible. Have you noticed that? The world will always turn to the Bible. Newsweek, Time, NBC will always turn to the Bible. And rather than seeing the Bible and its significance fade away, when something happens, they always want to know more about what the Bible has to say regarding events. They'll ask questions like this, and you already know this. They'll ask questions, is what's going on in the Middle East the Battle of Armageddon? The news magazine will say, is this the end? During the holiday seasons, was Jesus really born? And was there a tomb at his resurrection? Or did he even rise from the dead? It's always in the news. They're always asking the questions. And they're always going to ask questions. Church, listen, your friends and your co-workers are going to ask questions. What does this situation have to do with the Bible? They claim not to believe in the Bible, but have you noticed they always want to know about what the Bible says about what's taking place around us. Listen, why is the Bible the most consulted book in the world when something seems to bother mankind? The reason being, the Bible has a standard and has a track record that is unparalleled among any other book of the world. It's the Bible that is true. Yes, people love to attack it. But have you noticed they've never been able to produce any mistakes or errors or falsehood of the Bible? The Bible says of itself that God gave it. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place, like a flood lamp, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. That's a reference of Christ. The Bible says of itself that prophecy, the revelation of God's word, is sure and it is firm. We need to know that today, and you're going to hear the reasons why in a moment. The Bible and its effect upon the modern day reader is to comfort us. Did you know that? It's to comfort you. You say, well, Pastor, I'm here for the first time today, and I don't know what the Bible says, and I'm kind of concerned about that. I'm a little bit afraid of that, you know. Listen, read the Bible. It comforts you. It brings you peace. The Bible speaks about the things that are not only going on in the world, but have gone on in the world, and the things that are going to go on in the world. The Bible speaks about that to give us confidence, peace, and here's one of the best things of all, to give us expectation. We'll look at these things in more detail as we get into this morning. But the Bible predicts the future in absolute perfection. What a great thing. That's why the Bible, every year, among other reasons, every year is the number one sold book, bestseller book in the world every year. So much so that it's not even listed in the best-selling books of the year. They gave up on listing the Bible. Every year, more Bibles are bought and sold than any other book of the world. Why? People want to know what it has to say. Bible prophecy, the science of that study, by the way, is called eschatology. It's a big word, prophetic events. It means that the Lord God of the Bible has the ability of telling you and I, the future in advance. Eschatology, Bible prophecy, is God's power to tell you in advance what's going to become history. That ought to bring you comfort. Pastor Jack, can God forgive me of my sins? Yes. How can you be so sure? Because the Bible says prophetically that all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that awesome? The Bible says in advance, anticipating your life and my life, that if we ever came to that place of thinking, would God ever accept me? Would God ever love me? Would God ever care about me? Well, the Bible says that to the person who has sinned much, loves much, because they experience the love of God and forgiveness of their sins. But you have to come to Christ. You've got to come to Him and say, Lord, forgive me. He's the only one that died on the cross for your sins and mine. He wants your life. He wants your heart. Even that story, even that message, even that announcement is the fulfillment of God's prophetic word. But why do we interrupt our normal study to come to this today? It's very important that we do this. Why is this situation this morning before us, and why should we care? Church, it is this. This morning, the reason why we embark upon this study, being today, September 9th, 2007, at this hour this morning, Israel has been placed on the highest state of alert than it has since last summer during the war. Did you know that? We have these updates this morning, and they've been coming in all week. I was on the phone this week, and even this morning to Israel. But you know this from just your normal news this week, that several months ago, Russia's Vladimir Putin authorized shipments of new surface-to-air missiles to Syria and to Iran, which have been denied, by the way. Russia has denied that. Syria and Iran have denied that. They say they don't exist. That is, Syria and Iran doesn't have them. But these new Russian missiles are known to be the most advanced surface-to-air missiles in the world and believed to be absolutely impossible to avoid or to escape from if you're in a fighter jet of any make. But on Friday, listen, on Friday, Syria launched two missiles against two F-15I Strike Eagles that took off from Tel Naf Air Force Base in central Israel. You saw, number one, on the news this weekend, you saw the report that they were F-16s that invaded Syria airspace and inadvertently dropped their fuel tanks deep into Syrian territory. I'm here to tell you, that's not what happened. We have word from Israel that did not happen. It was not just the dropping of fuel tanks. They were not just inside Syrian airspace. They were not F-16Ds. They were F-15I Strike Eagles from Tel Naf Air Base. Why is that important? Listen, this past Wednesday, on the news, you saw it happen. Russia flew 8 bombers near Norwegian airspace in Europe, and England scrambled 4 of its Eurofighters to intercept and turn the bombers away from Norwegian airspace. NATO, Europe, and the United States is asking Russia, what are you doing? Why did you do that? And just this past April, Russia flew 2 of its Tu-160 super stealth bombers from the northern areas of Russia across Canada, without being detected by Canadian or U.S. radar until they were halfway back home after their trial mission. Did you know that? We were embarrassed by that just this last April. Why is Russia flexing its arm the way that the world is seeing it flex at this moment? Why 2 weeks ago did Vladimir Putin say the world will respect Russia again? What is he saying? What's going on? Why is Russia flexing their arm in the Middle East? Why is it right now that Russia is putting hundreds of thousands and over actually millions of dollars into a Syrian seaport? In fact, this is the article. You can read this online. In fact, one of the articles announced, "Not Your Father's Bear." That was the name of the article. "Not Your Father's Bear." You know what the bear means, Russia? There's a whole new Russia. And it's well armed. It's well equipped. It ought to be. You and I gave them $40 billion during the end, at the end of the Cold War. Instead of feeding the Russian people, they built an advanced military. This article, "Russia Seeks Its Place in the Sun." That article goes on to read right now that Russia is building a naval port, or I should say resurrecting their old naval port in Syria. And right now in the Mediterranean, there is a Russian aircraft carrier and its battleships and submarines in the Mediterranean. This is common knowledge. What's going on? With all that's taking place in the saber rattling, why is this so important? And why is Russia now, clearly, this has been divulged and has been debunked because they denied it. Why is Russia supplying super IEDs, tank-busting IEDs, through Iran into the Iraqi insurgents to cause horrific death and damage to the American troops in Iraq? Why? Why is Russia doing this? Isn't it interesting that the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, first of all, chapter 36, announcing, listen, please don't get up and leave. Not that anybody got up and left, but I'm just saying, you need to hear this all the way through because it's very exciting. But why in Ezekiel chapter 36 did God announce in that chapter that there would be a time in the future, near the end of the age, that Israel would come back from all its places in the world? The Jews would come back to the land of Israel in the last days, and God would cause them to come back to their own land. Church, that was impossible until May 14th, 1948. Why do I say this? Because the God that wrote a love letter to you in the Bible and said, "I love you, and I'm going to go to the cross for you, and I'm going to be resurrected from the dead for you, and I want your sins forgiven, and I want to be your Lord, I want to save you," is the God that keeps His promises. And you keep your eye on Israel. God says the world will hate Israel. That's interesting. He said that 4,000 years ago. Gee, let me ask you, does the world hate Jews and hate Israel? Did you know that Israel, one of the smallest nations in the world, surrounded by the most hostile neighborhood in the world, has received more UN condemnations than any other nation in the world? Anti-Semitism. Hatred. This week, I read in the London Guardian newspaper that all references to the Holocaust have been removed from the England, their school system. It has to be removed. Citing this in the London Guardian, it was offensive to the Muslim population to speak about the Holocaust. And England has capitulated and they're removing them from the books. Why? Why the hatred for the Jew? God said it would be like that. God also said, we all know this, even if you're not a Christian, even if you've never even read a Bible, you know that the last battle place on earth will be the battle of where? Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo. Where is that? Canada? Is it in Peru? Is it in California? It's in the land of Israel, right in the heart of Israel. God is awesome, and His promises to us are great. But listen, God also knows the future. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God makes this announcement, verse 25. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, their children and their children's children. In Ezekiel 38, verse 7, listen to this. I'll read it to you. You can look to the screen. Ezekiel 38, verse 1 through 7 says, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, keep your eye on the map. Son of Man, that is a nickname for Ezekiel. Set your face against Gog, that's G-O-G. In the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around and put hooks into your jaws, and I will lead you out. You with a great army, all of your army, horses and horsemen, splendidly arrayed, a great company of warriors, all of them handling swords. Note this, verse 5, Persia. What is today's name for Persia? Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, North Africa, and all of them with you with shields and helmets, Gomer and its troops. And the house of Togomar, the regions of Turkey, from the uttermost parts of the north with all your troops. Many nations will be with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all the companies that, listen, that are gathered about you, and be a guard to them. Look to the map. This area is ancient Magog. Always has been, always will be. Rosh, the region of the Ukraine. Gomer, Kazakhstan today, or the areas of the southern Soviet Union. Togomar, this region here. And Tubal, this region of the world says, according to the Bible, you say, Jack, I don't know if I believe it or not. That's your business. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says, from the uttermost parts of the north, look at a map, draw a map from Jerusalem to the North Pole. What nation is in the uttermost parts of the north? Russia today. It says that in the last days, this nation, whoever Magog is, will be a supplier to this region of the world to come against Israel. You say, where does it say supplier? I'm glad you asked. Ezekiel 38, verse 7. The word guard there in English is this word in Hebrew. It's mishmar. And the word means a supplier, a defender, as it were, a mother to guard over them. In the last days, this region of the world will be a supplier. As a mother nurses a child, this region will nurse this region against what? Against whom? The Bible says Israel. That's got to make the hair on your arm stand up. Even though I'm not saying that this battle is happening or about to happen, it could. I don't know. The point that I'm making is, isn't it amazing that you and I are sitting right here in the 21st century and we can open up our Bible and we can point back thousands of years to what we can read about in the newspaper today? That should give the believer confidence this morning. If you're not a Christian, you should say, man, I didn't know this. Well, listen, cheer up, because the same God who wrote this is the same God that said, if you put your faith in Him, He'll rescue you from hell. He'll rescue you from our sins. He'll take you to heaven. This is awesome stuff. You say, why don't we hear this more often? I don't know. It upsets me. This should be taught in churches all around the world. Some do, but not all. Why should we care about the Bible and Bible prophecy? And what does it mean to me? We're going to look at 10 things very quickly. Number one is this. Jot it down if you would. Why should we care about Bible prophecy? Number one, Bible prophecy has been proven reliable. Not one mess up in the Bible. The Bible has been proven reliable in all of its prophecies. The history of the Bible is this, that you can rely upon the Bible to tell you the future. And that's that word eschatology. I mentioned earlier, 27% of the Bible deals with prophetic events. But even more than that, if you think about even our salvation is a prophetic fulfillment of God's word. So number one is that the Bible is reliable. And we can go on and on about this. One of the things that I'll just pull out of the scriptures for you is amazing and awesome. In the Medo-Persian Empire, by the way, the Medo-Persian Empire that you may or may not be aware of, it's an actual historical empire that once existed, it's a massive empire. One of the kings, one of the rulers, was Cyrus. And one night he couldn't sleep, says the Bible, and that he called for the writings of the Jews, the Old Testament. And he began reading it, and he read in there a portion of Scripture concerning his own kingdom. And that led to him making a decree about the God of Israel, Nebuchadnezzar, whom Saddam Hussein claimed to be a descendant of. Nebuchadnezzar announced that it's the God of Daniel, the God of the Jews, who knows all things, and that He is the ruler over the kingdoms of the earth. He was convinced by the validity of God's word through the prophet Daniel and all the influence that the Jews brought to the region of Babylon. On and on it goes throughout Scripture. The Bible is proven reliable. Number two, the Bible prophecy predicts the future. The Bible speaks with specifics about the future. Critics of the Bible will say, well, they're so vague. They're such vague prophecies. You don't know if they're fulfilled or not. Oh, really? For example, Jesus prophesied that after his death, there would come a time when not one stone of the temple would be left upon another, but shall be taken down and thrown away or cast away. And if I would have been thinking, I've got physical pictures that I could have put up here on the screens of those very stones that have been unearthed in Jerusalem. In 70 AD, now what I'm telling you is not even biblical history. I'm speaking to you from secular history right now. In 70 AD, General Titus Vespasian came in with the Roman legion to suppress an uprising in Jerusalem. Without intentions to destroy the temple, by accident, the temple caught fire. The gold melted inside the temple, flowed between the cracks of the rocks. And at the end, it was ordered by the emperor to tell Titus, scrape all the gold off the rocks, bring it back to Rome, and clean it up. And they, listen, what stones were together, they pushed over and broke apart and scraped the melted gold, and not one stone was left upon another. Jesus said that exact thing would happen after his death and resurrection. What about this? The Bible mentions specifically the Egyptian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire. The Bible even speaks about Alexander the Great and the Roman Empire. Am I yelling? I'm so excited. Sorry. Because when I read this stuff and I see what's going on, I get confidence that what my God says to me, I love you, Jack. I said, yes, God, give me a squeeze. This is how he does it. It's specific about Israel. As I said, Iraq, Iran, Jordan. It's specific about Arabia. Global economies. It's specific about that. The Bible's very specific about massive or bizarre weather patterns. The Bible's specific about earthquakes. Remember last Sunday? You guys, was it this service or second service? Right in the middle of the service. It's right in the middle. It's great. But Jesus said, as time came near the end, there'd be great earthquakes. Did you see Taipei this week? Was it Taipei or Taiwan? Huge earthquake. They're increasing. If you doubt me, go to Caltech and look up frequency and intensity of earthquakes at Caltech. Read it for yourself. The Bible, Jesus, prophets spoke about volcanoes. What happened this week? A volcano blew up in Italy. The Bible, Jesus, the prophets warn of wars and rumors of wars, saber rattling and actual wars. Jesus said there'd be diseases that man would not be able to suppress. Are we living in a time that has diseases? And of course, it's increasing all the time. By the way, have you noticed? They've announced, by the way, and I don't know why they're not doing anything about it. But since our borders have become wide open, a lot of diseases that were once eradicated in America are now coming back and plaguing the United States. And then get a load of this. Please hear me out on this. Don't run out of the building thinking that I've turned green or something. But global warming is a big topic. Global warming is a big topic. It's not scientifically proven. What is proven is that the Earth goes through cycles, and it has been ever since man's been recording cycles and ever since trees have been growing rings. But I will say this, global warming, by the way, it was pretty warm last week, wasn't it? Global warming, you want global warming? Remember, you heard it here first. Global warming, the Bible talks about global warming. In Revelation 16:8, it says, I saw the fourth angel pour out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given to the sun to scorch men on the earth, to burn them with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God. Now, that's during the tribulation period. That's not last week. Even though it was hotter than Helsinki last week. The Bible says in the tribulation period that you and I are going to escape if you're a Christian, that there's a time coming when some angel that's been given jurisdiction to bring judgment on the earth is going to pour out his bowl onto the sun, and that angelic being is going to allow the sun to intensify, and the Bible says that men will curse God for the heat that is on the earth. Wow! So, in a sense, yeah, global warming's coming. Matthew 24, verse 5. Matthew 24:5, Jesus said, "For many will come in my name," regarding predicting the future, saying, "I am the Christ," "and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must happen, but the end is not yet. Because nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence," that's diseases, "earthquakes in various places," and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. "And then they will deliver you up into tribulation and kill you." Not the great tribulation, into trials and difficulties and kill you. "Martyrdom. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another." Man, do we live in an age where people just hate each other? Isn't that sad? "Then many false prophets," Jesus said, "will arise in the last days and will deceive many people. And lawlessness will abound and the love for others will grow cold." Jesus said in Matthew 21:25, "There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And on the earth there will be distress among the nations with perplexity." The word in Greek means that the leaders will see no way out. Perplexity. "And the sea and the waves will roar." Isn't that amazing? Jesus said that. "Great storms in the earth and in the sea. Men's hearts," he said, "will begin to fail them because of fear and the things that they see coming upon the earth. And the powers of the heavens themselves shall be shaken." Jesus said this 2,000 years ago. This is not to scare you. This is to tell you that your God knows. Number three, Bible prophecy is key to survival. It's Bible prophecy that explains to us what's coming. It encourages us what to prepare for. It warns us about what to avoid and how to avoid it. In John 14:29, Jesus said, "I have told you these things before they come to pass, that when it does, you may believe." Isn't that good of Him? Are you guys okay? You're so quiet. Actually, I should be thankful that you're quiet, huh? I love amens, though. You know that kind of stuff? I just dig that stuff. I spoke at a black church back on the East Coast. They never stopped saying amen. I loved it. Okay, so that was a pretty big hint. If something blesses you, just let it out. Matthew 24:25, Jesus says, "Behold, I have told you beforehand." Luke 21:36, here's a great one. Luke 21:36, Jesus said, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy." Hey, how are you counted worthy? Exactly, by trusting in Jesus. "That you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of God." Number four, why should we care about Bible prophecy? Number four, Bible prophecy exposes false messages. This is important today. False messages or false prophets or false doctrines. You guys, the Bible declares that Satan cannot prophesy correctly. He prophesies through his agents, but he always messes up. He can't do it. He tries really hard. That ought to kind of tip you off. You say, "Well, Pastor, look, I appreciate you going through all this stuff, and apparently you've got a lot of scriptures here, and you know, that's really nice for some people. Let me ask you something. Are you a Christian?" "Yep." "Well, then listen. You know how important the understanding of Bible prophecy is? It's so important that Satan's always trying to duplicate it, to do a knockoff, but he fails at it. It's prophecy that God says, that's how you know that I rule, that I am God, is that I'll tell you in advance and it will come together exactly as I said. Satan's prophets, they botch it up all the time and make things up. And the world is full of books on that they've written. Bible prophecy exposes false messengers. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 13:1. "If a prophet," listen carefully, church, "if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams," can't you turn on your TV today and see these guys that will channel for you? You know that's demonic. But the guy's so cute and nice. Demonic! Yeah, but she's really, you know the best one ever was that woman from Jamaica. Remember her? Who? Cleo! "Call me, man! I'll tell you the future! You call me, I'll tell you your future. I know the future. You call me, Mix Leo, call me." She went bankrupt. Couldn't she see it coming? Deuteronomy says, if a false prophet or one who foretells dreams appears among you, ABC, NBC, KTLA, announces to you a miraculous sign, and they're even able to perform it. If that sign or wonder happens, which they spoke about, if it takes place, if they do a miracle, let us not follow other gods. Let us follow other gods is their message. Know this, I have not sent them. Do not listen to them. They are false prophets. Did you hear that warning that God said? God said if they come along and they do a miracle and then they say, did you like that? Oh, we loved it. That's great. Follow this God or gods instead. That's power, isn't it? You say, Jack, would God ever allow that? Hey, didn't Pharaoh's magicians do demonic miracles? Huh? It's going to happen more and more. I'm surprised, actually, in the Western world that we haven't seen more really freaky miracles. I'm sure they're coming. Aren't all miracles from God? Answer, no. Satan's very powerful. The Bible says so. What qualifies the miracle? It's the message behind the miracle. Be smart. Key to our survival. Exposes false prophets. Fifthly, Bible prophecy is to be understood. You say, I don't want to get into the Bible because Bible prophecy, I can't understand it. That's not what God said. God said, read the book. In fact, the book of Revelation says, blessed is everyone. Listen to this. You want to get blessed today? God promises. Only book of all the Bible. Only book. 66 books of the Bible. Only one says, God says, anyone who reads the book of Revelation, I will bless personally. And I will bless any person who reads it out loud to others. I love that. Bible prophecies to be understood. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Daniel was told, know therefore and understand. And then that great prophetic revelation came to Daniel about the future. Revelation chapter 1, 19. Write these things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. That's called the book of Revelation. The Bible is to be understood. Bible prophecy. God wants us to know it. Number six, Bible prophecy reminds us of who's in control. I love this. Reminds us of who's in control. Are you ready for this verse? This is a sassy verse. I can almost see God with his hand on his hip when he says it. Listen to this. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things that have long passed. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that have not yet happened, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish my good pleasure. Thank you. That's cool. That's our God. I am going to do what I said. And by the way, I tell you in advance so you can watch me do it. Daniel 12, verse 4, but you, Daniel, listen to this, but you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of this prophecy until the time of the end. Listen, many will travel here and there to increase knowledge. Written 3,000 years ago. Daniel, your prophecy's for the last days. Oh, how are we going to know when to let it go? How are we going to know? God announces, in the last days, people will travel here and there to increase knowledge. Isn't that awesome? I know what I'm about to say is kind of stretching it. You have to get in an airplane to go look at something normally. Isn't it bizarre that you can get on the internet with a camera and look at the Wailing Wall right now? Or go check out the traffic on the 405 freeway? Are we acquiring knowledge here and there and around the world by the stroke of a mouse or keypad? Knowledge shall increase, and men will travel here and there to obtain it. Interesting. The Bible reminds us of who's in control. Number seven, the Bible prophecy causes us to be ready. This is why I don't understand churches not teaching the prophetic word of God. The Bible prepares us to be ready. Matthew 24:44, Jesus said, therefore you also be ready, For the Son of Man comes in an hour that you do not expect Him. Wow. Man, that's awesome. This is so exciting to me. In Matthew 24:42 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." And the word "watch" there means to be vigilant, to be on guard, to be at your post, to be at the ready like a sentry. You know what a sentry is? He's like this. He's just guarding and he's posting his guard. You guys, very soon, many of you from this church, we will go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington on our tour. And one of the times when I was there, it was a large crowd. And if you've ever been there, that guard is guarding the remains of that body whom nobody knows who it is. And it says right there, as you enter this place, be quiet and be respectful. And it's obvious that you need to be respectful. It's quite terrifying. And you're there, and that guy's standing there. He looks like he's fake. And when we were there, somebody to our left started goofing off. Like, be quiet. Turn it on. The camera's right there. They were talking normal. They're just talking. And the guard goes like this. He turned and looked in their direction. No emotion. And they didn't get it. And people start to look at them. People are looking at them. And they're like, "No, man, sit down. No, hey, you know." And this guy took his rifle and went like this. And he started marching and went right up to them. And he looked at them. And it was terrifying. I wasn't even making noise and I got scared. What was he doing? He was on guard. He was ready. Jesus says to the believer, in your life, be like that. You guys, it's pretty hard to be sleeping with your girlfriend if you're ready. It's pretty hard to be snorting or doing or pretending that you're, whatever, sinning against the Lord who loves you and you're not walking with Him. It's pretty hard to be ready when you got that going on. You're not ready. What do I do? Come to Jesus. Come to Him. Be ready. The Bible says that when He comes, we do not want to be ashamed at His coming. Be living for Him. And I know that sounds like so hard, so impossible. First of all, it is totally impossible. Totally impossible. You can't do it. I can't do it. That's why Jesus said, that's okay, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. The moment you say yes to me, the moment you believe that I died on the cross for you, rose again from the dead for you, and the Spirit of God wrote you a love letter called the Bible, when you believe that, the Spirit of God will live inside you in that moment. He'll come inside of you. And He'll live the life through you. He changes your mind. He changes your life. Isn't it awesome? I'm so sad that the world looks at Christianity as something you do. And they've mistaken the Ten Commandments with something that we do to get to heaven. The Ten Commandments were given to announce that nobody can make it to heaven. Did you know that? The Ten Commandments were built to cause you and I to give up and say, oh God, I need you. The first commandment, to love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. We goofed that one up before we even get to it. So then who can be saved? Anyone, everyone who looks to Christ as Savior. Not by the law, not by trying to be good enough to impress God. The Bible says if you do that, you'll fail. You will fall from the grace of God. So when we come to Christ, what do? What is the announcement of the Bible? Revelation 19:10 says the spirit of prophecy is Jesus Christ. Wow. We say, Lord, I come to you. I can't save myself. You died for me. I come to you. That's how you get ready. You can get ready today. And I know the battle. I've already been there in my life. Gosh, I'd love to, but I'm just not good enough. Golly gee, I'd love to. I'll get better and I'll come back next week. Let me tell you, if you think like that, you will have the worst week of your life. It doesn't work that way. Number 8, Bible prophecy creates anticipation. Anticipation. You guys, I got to tell you this because it's first service. The gentleman that has a hard time with what I'm about to say always comes to third service. He corrects me almost every week. When I talk about heaven, when I talk about what the Bible says about us going there, when I read verses that speak about heaven, he always comes to me. He's an elderly man. He'll kind of pet me on the head and he'll say, now, we're to be living life here. We're to be excited about life now. And I understand that if you live here in the Western world for now, it's nice. But the people of North Africa who are being pursued and killed and beheaded today, and their hands are being cut off, did you know that today? Heaven sounds really good to them. See, we're not too excited about heaven. We don't anticipate it much because we got it too good right now. Although the mortgage industry is going to probably cause you to want heaven much more. Have we forgotten in our little Southern California dream that heaven awaits us? Yesterday I spoke at Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach and I was driving down PCH and it was a perfect day. I almost rear-ended somebody because I was looking at the ocean because it was such a perfect day. And I thought, man, it's a great day. As beautiful as yesterday was, it doesn't even register a blip in heaven. You guys, Paul the Apostle said to you and I, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the minds of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's right. Amen. Anticipation. We're not fatalists. We're really not. We want to live this life to the fullness that God's called us right here and right now. Here's the cool thing. Our retirement is sweet. Our retirement is awesome. It is great. It is grand. It's heaven. Who said? Jesus said. He said, I'm going to pick you up and take you to where I am. Heaven. Anticipation. 1 Peter 1:7. We're almost done. 1 Peter 1:7 says, for the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. Is that true in your life? Gold that perishes, though it is tested now by fire. That's a difficult life that we live. May be found to the praise and the honor and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's when he comes for us. Whom having not seen, you love him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Do you ever have those moments when it's like, God, you're so cool. And the reality of heaven hits you. I'm going there. And it's just like, yes. It's, oh. And then you relax and it's over for a second. Inexpressible, full of glory. How do you explain where we're going? Galatians 5, verse 5 says, through the Spirit of God, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What is the hope? It's the coming of the Lord. Revelation 22, 20 says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. John says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Yeah, that's good news. And then number 9, Bible prophecy produces godly living. Romans 13, 1. Bible prophecy produces godly living. Know this, says the Bible. Know that it's time, high time, that we awake out of our sleep, for now our salvation is closer than when we first believed. For the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light and let us not let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness or in lewdness or lust, not in striving or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And from this time on, make no opportunity for your flesh to fulfill its lust. We all battle that. Make no opportunity for it. And then number 10, and we'll be done. Why should we care about Bible prophecy? Because Bible prophecy brings us hope. It brings us hope. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort one another with these words. What an awesome thing. And then, of course, a verse that you know well here, Titus 2:13. Talk about hope, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Church, listen, It's Bible prophecy that announces the hope of your salvation and mine. It's the... Oh, yes. Note this. It's the Bible. Yes, there's Lisa. We're going up the... That's a big tombstone. Look at this. Don't you love that? Safe in the arms of Jesus. This is from Arlington in Virginia. And I want you back up to that first slide there. I like the way that looks. Can you back up? You guys, the Bible says that if any, hope, talk about hope. Don't raise your hand, but have you lost anyone in your life that trusted in Jesus? Go ahead and leave that up. There's a reason why I'm leaving that up. Do you know anybody who's died and gone to heaven? Yeah, you missed them. This week we lost a little precious 8-year-old boy who went into a diabetic coma and never came out. We lost an elderly woman this week here at this church. That's the wrong term, isn't it? We didn't lose them. We know exactly where they're at. The Bible says concerning the coming of the Lord, the scripture says we will be resurrected. That's why I had to take that picture. I said, Lisa, you got to take this picture. I sent it to a friend of mine and I said, man, we're so excited about the Lord coming back that we're practicing. Okay, you can get that ugly thing off. You guys, we have that hope. Do you have that hope? And I want to leave you with this. Truly, we are done. Listen to this. 10 things very quickly. Number one is this. What can we be watching for when we understand Bible prophecy? What's God's biblical timeline possibly like? Well, we know these things are in the works. Number one, not in necessarily order of importance, but number one, nonetheless. Make sure, friend, these are my personal, these are my hit list. Maybe they can be yours as well. Indicators of the days and age in which we live. And if you're not a Christian this morning, I want you to think about these things. I'm currently watching Jerusalem. God says to keep your eye on it. It's really his timepiece to prophecy. Number two, I'm keeping my eyes on Damascus, Syria. Because the book of Isaiah chapter 17 says that something's going to happen in Damascus that is going to be so catastrophic that it will never again be inhabited. Keep your eyes on Damascus. God says something's going to happen there. In fact, he says there will be a fire that starts in its walls that will consume the city and no man will ever live there again. You say, well, how do you know it didn't happen before? Because there's 1 million people living there today. Number three, I'm watching Moscow, Russia like never before. Vladimir Putin has lost his rocker. He's pretty dangerous. And let me tell you, I know we know many Russians. I've been to Russia 16 times. I love Russians. I'm not talking about Russian people. Their ideology is insane. It's a godless system. And yet the Bible says in the last days they're going to come against Israel. Number four, keep your eye on Islam. Prophesied in the Bible. It offers a completely different book. Offers no heaven for you, really. Talks about it, if you're a man, paradise for you. But it doesn't really promise it because it can't provide it. And yet it's enveloping the globe. Jesus said, watch out. Number five, I'm currently watching the strengthening of the euro and the collapse of the U.S. dollar. We are the greatest debtor nation in the world. America is broke. We owe more nations money than what we can pay. President Bush announced last week $17 billion would be possibly necessary to help the mortgage crash of what's going on with these mortgages that people out of greed got into homes that they couldn't afford. Countrywide and other companies are near folding. Some of them have folded. Countrywide's laying off 12,000 employees as of Friday and cutting back 25% of writing loans. And Bush said that he's going to help keep them all afloat. That's what he said. Did you see him say it? I watched him say it. Guess what? We borrowed the money from European banks to do it. We're broke. Our lifestyle is a perception. To prove it, how much of the stuff that you and I enjoy do you own? Very little. Who owns your house? Who owns your car? Frankly, does MasterCard even own the clothes that's on our back? We've become the greatest debtor nation in the world. The dollar's going to crash. And the Bible said in the book of Daniel, there'll be a currency that will arise out of Europe. Keep your eye on that. Keep your eye on Turkey. The Bible says it's going to get nasty there. The Bible says that no nation will come to Israel's defense when it's attacked. Keep your eye on that. Keep your eye on worldwide weather. Bizarre, strange. The Bible said about that. The Bible said about the unification of the Roman Empire. We know it as the EU. The Bible said it would happen 3,000 years ago. And keep your eye on this number 10, the saddest thing, maybe of all. Is the apathy, the deadness, and the irrelevancy of the church. The church in the world is embracing everything but prayer, God's word, and living for the love of God. And loving the souls of men. We're done. I tell you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I want you to know, though I may never have met you, for Jesus' sake, I love your soul. Let's pray right now. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you, Father, would move upon our hearts now. And Lord God, that you would cause in this place decisions to be made for you right where people are at. Father, in Jesus' name we pray that if someone is sitting here right now and they would say, you know what, this stuff kind of scares me, but it also kind of gives me hope and I don't know what to do. My friend, please understand this. You've come to the right place at the right time. It's not this place, by the way, but it is the right time. You've heard the word of God. God's prophetic word is true. And the age that is around us, the Lord knows of. You don't need to worry one moment more tomorrow. You don't need to fret or think of that anymore. You can trust Him. And this morning, today, you can do that. You can say yes to Him. Right where you're at. Don't leave this place today thinking, well, I hope it's going to turn out okay. That's what I'm hoping for. It will only turn out okay if the God who wrote this book, who created the universe and made you, becomes your Lord. And will you do that today? Yes, your life will change, but He'll do it. I promise you this, it'll be the greatest decision you ever make, both now and forever. Say yes to Him. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. If you want to make that decision today, there'll be pastors and